Well, it looks like we're ready to go. So, good evening. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in here in Grass Valley, California, and the home of the Institute. Tonight we are continuing our study of the book Life in the Labyrinth by E.J. Gold. Probably can't see it from this distance, but it's one of the standards of his writings, some of the work that he has presented to us. These works were done in the 80s, in the late 80s.
Yeah, maybe this one is 86.
86, like no
less. 86.
And its companion volume is a volume called The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus. And we went through that a few couple years ago, I think, at this point. And since then, we've also done practical work on self, which is another important key to some of these works. And then recently, we also did Joy of Sacrifice. In a certain way, Life in the Labyrinth is a capstone of those works, because in those works, we begin to understand what is the machine, how to work with the machine, and how to awaken the machine. Once the machine starts to become comfortable and allows the waking state to occur, the essential self starts to come forward. And when the essential self begins to exercise some of its existence, and we begin to know it, and that's called the presence and attention. And then, once you can be in that space, you wind up being in a space and you can begin to voyage, and voyage in a particular way in the labyrinth. And so this particular book is called Life in That Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. We start with the assumption that we are already there, that we know the principles of awakening the machine. And a key element is that we're working with what we have and who we are. We're working from that space and moving forward. So that's a context for this book that we're on. We're a good way through the book, however. I realized Ivan is telling me we're further along than I realized.
Chapter 14. And we're going to be going up through chapter 17, three more chapters, and then there's an epilogue and an author's afterword.
So we've gone through a lot of important material to get to this chapter 14. And the chapter itself is thick in a sense. It's thick with cosmology.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to dance with that a little bit. We're not going to really work our way through the cosmology as such. And the reason is that I want this to be as pragmatic a class as we can get, so that we can unwind basically the very first sentence of the chapter and make it into something that we and others can utilize forever and ever. So we're discovering practical ways and means. What do these things mean? So we're going to unravel these little sentences. This particular chapter is called the
Labyrinth Voyager's Quatrain.
And would you get us started, please?
Yeah, sure. let me just comment, David.
Yes.
That's interesting what you're saying. I think this is a good, David's made this point in several different ways, but it strikes me that he's saying we're, in this class, in case you're new or you haven't been here all along, we're about laboratory science, applied science, and not so much theoretical physics and mathematics and so on. It's like we're not that interested in pursuing the intellectual cosmology and philosophy. We're more looking for the applied science, how the ideas play out in life.
We're taking it as a given that there's certain principles that we not only understand but that are operative for us.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people that are here, are not beginners on this spiritual path. They may or may not be beginners to this particular work, but they've been down the road before. So we're going to harvest that, and we're going to work with that to see what can we do with that together as a group. This is a group effort. There's two people in front of the camera right now, but it's noted very, very specific way by me that there is a group functioning at the moment. Note that and understand what we mean by the sense of a group functioning. We'll get that later. But,
okay.
So now the header to this chapter, Ivan's going to read for us.
Labyrinth Voyagers Quatrain. All phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled, not making any sudden moves. My habits will carry me through.
Now, some of us that have been working in this manner for a long time, that those are second nature to us. But let's read this first paragraph. The Voyager's Quatrain is the most powerful tool for voyaging in the labyrinth, period. Stand up and take notice. So if that's true, we should pause. This should give us, if the individual that wrote this book is saying, wait a minute, here's the most powerful tool for the voyager in your work as a labyrinth voyager. So what I want to do tonight is I want to penetrate each of these four lines. Whether we get through 1, 2, 3, or all four tonight doesn't matter to me. What I want to do is start the penetration process. Later we'll see that they do all interplay as one event in a certain way. But each line comes to life. Let's bring it to life, and then let's, how do you see that? How do you work with it? What is it actually, how does it actually work for you? Right? And so then the next couple of paragraphs are really just brief explanations of each one. All phenomena is illusion refers to phenomena as a totality, not as a series of individual phenomena. Therefore, the use of the singular verb is not a colloquialism, but semantic exactitude. Neither attracted nor repelled. And then he refers to and goes into a description of how it occurred in this particular movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark. And if you haven't seen it, then it won't make sense. But nevertheless, neither attracted nor repelled. All phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled. This brings us to the third line, not making any sudden moves. And then the comment, this should be self-evident. Well, and then the fourth line, of course, is my habits will carry me through. Tells us that if all phenomena is illusion and we're neither attracted nor repelled and we make no sudden moves, then our habits will carry us through. Okay, what are those habits? What are those habits? Okay?
All right.
So, let's just look at the first one for a little bit here. All phenomena is illusion. And I really would like this to be more of an interactive class than some of us just prattling on. So what does that mean to you? All phenomena is illusion. And now the context is the Voyager's Quatrain.
Mm-hmm.
So we are voyagers.
Yeah, and there's a clear reference here. Crossover to the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold also. You know, this Voyager's Quatrain is shared by this book and the Book of the Dead.
Yeah. So the Book of the Dead, American Book of the Dead, is something that people use to do readings in assisting those who have passed in their journey. But they are in the labyrinth. They are in that modality. So all phenomena is illusion. So what could that mean? What does it mean? Just in a simple sense, all phenomena is illusion.
So you want to collect?
Go ahead.
See what the you've got. Can you read us comments? Star, what do you got? Essential self's habits. What are the habits that carry us through? Yeah. A habit of seeing and sense seeing.
Sense
okay.
Seeing. So Becky is telling us that in a certain way the machine has a habit of seeing, and it's just that's a habit that we see in a certain way. Now, it's not necessarily a bad habit, is it? Because we use it a lot. We use it a lot to get through our day. Like we use it a lot to see, oh, don't step over that cliff. Now's not a good time to step in the middle of the road. So those are phenomena that if they occurred would have a significant impact on the continuation of the machine. So we use phenomena in a certain way, but as Becky is telling us, it's the habit that we forget. It's the habit. Go ahead, Lost says.
Okay, has to refer to Bardo world phenomena.
So he's bringing up now a distinction, Lost Horizon is saying, well, wait a minute, I think it refers to Bardo phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now so we have a new player on the table in a sense.
Well, okay, let's kick around what EJ, you know, what EJ says just a little bit later, I think, in this chapter. He says that that usage that all phenomena is illusion, you know, saying that it's all one thing, it's a unity. All phenomena is a unity. So whether it be a Bardo perception or, you know, whatever, a Voyager perception, that the formulation of that all phenomena is illusion is representing a state of mind, or let's say a state of awareness or a perception, a state of perception, or sensation, where everything is in unity. So it's calling up, actually.
It's
interesting to read that section. This is saying all phenomena is illusion is like a mantra to me. It's calling up the unity of all things. It's saying, you know, well, am I there? Am I perceiving everything as a unity? No, I think I'm still seeing things with, say, fragmentation. You know, I'm defining it in language. I'm saying all these things have names and they're individual, separate things and so on. So I'm not exactly there. But, you know, with the Book of the Dead, my sense of it when it's part of an ABD reading, a Book of the Dead reading, it's calling up the Voyager's situation. It's like saying, you know, when I do readings, I'm reading for a Voyager of the American Book of the Dead. I don't say, you are now experiencing the unity and you are doing it. The way that EJ has written that is I say, I am now experiencing
the clear light of objective reality.
Yeah. And it's because you're conveying to that Voyager that they should be saying, I am now perceiving it. So I, who's reading, perceiving the clear light of objective reality, and that's what I'm, what would you call it, channeling, that's what I'm sending to the Voyager, that this is the state of perception that you want to be in. Yeah, but she's got something for us. Yeah, please. Yeah, self-invocation, yeah.
Okay, we're not quite on the habits one yet.
You got, go ahead.
Yeah. So Simon is telling us that, you know, that our perceptions are spring out of the human biological machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Arya is saying that really even matter is energy. So it's just an interplay of some sort of energy situation here. But what about what Lost Horizon said?
Give us a reminder, remind us of that.
Lost Horizon said...
Did it say it was a machine perception?
No.
Yeah,
his earlier comment about phenomena in the bardos.
Yeah, right, the bardo world phenomena.
Okay, so what's our question here? Our question is, how do we put this to use? We're looking, how do we apply this concept of all phenomena is illusion to our bardo traveling. Right now, we just need to take it in, and as we sense the fact that we're moving into a more or less of a bardo space, then sense that suddenly those things around you may be illusion. We don't need to understand in a linear manner with our brain what is that illusion. We just pose the question.
Mm-hmm.
Just pose the question. It's not a thinking process here. All phenomena is illusion. So you're sitting there with maybe your hand is on your desk on the mouse or something like that, and it seems pretty real. Or the desk or the chair that you're on, or even the computer that you're working with seems very real. Well, all phenomena is illusion. What if that becomes your mantra at that space time? When you open up and then you're beginning to come into the labyrinth bardo space and you say, all phenomena is illusion. It doesn't have to mean anything. You don't have to figure it out. But now you posit it into the space. You place it into the space in a sense. It's like putting a candle into place, into the space, or a stick of incense.
Mm-hmm.
It now becomes part of the space that we're working in. So a bardo traveler pulls that. These are tools. We're told these are the most important tools.
Yeah, I like that idea of a tool. Yeah, it's a tool.
So you pull your tool out of your tool bag. If you're a carpenter, it's like a hammer or something, or a chisel. But in this case, the tool you pull out is all phenomena is illusion. Now, if you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about the nature of the cosmology, and then... you've lost the game already.
Right.
There's a sensing that goes with the comment, all phenomena is illusion. And just sit with it. Right there. Get that? All phenomena is illusion. Take those eyes now and look around. All phenomena is illusion. Slowly. Gently. Be with all phenomena is illusion. So when something occurs now, we have a different slant on it. Okay? Sense and sniff the space as it is right this second. Hold it in. Hang on. Go ahead, start.
Phenomena appear to us,
and yeah, and Loss is saying that we perceive things based on assumptions, so to speak, right?
Or
surface perceptions of those things. I said in a workshop many, many years ago with a guy named Teek Tianan, who EJ met down in L.A., and there's about eight of us in this workshop with him. This is this Tibetan monk that's a phenomenal individual. And he proved to us that the table we were sitting around wasn't there. And at that moment, in that sensation, it was not there. All that was there is, like as Ari was telling us, is this energy boat that we constructed as a table. Fascinating. Go ahead, Star. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So Becky Sunnybrook is saying it feels a lot softer when you have that tool. Dig deeper now, Becky. Why? Why? What's behind that? Why does it feel softer?
More transparent.
More malleable. Becky is saying, and more transparent. Here's another element to it, and the one that works for me. Is that if I can get into this space called, it's a space called all phenomena is illusion, and I can stand in that space for a moment, the thing that comes up for me, first one of the things that come up for me is a hint of fear, a little fear starting to come up, and the fear is because I'm on the edge of wonder. So if the sheen that I put on this, the look around me is wonder, I don't know what it is. I don't start with, I know what this is. I'm just in wonder. And the wonder allows a really beautiful state to unfold, but it is fearful. Because I'm not quite sure where it's going to wind up or where I'm going to wind up. Sorry. So Godfrey is telling us, take the position of not knowing. Brilliant, because if we can stand in not knowing, one, as much is available to us, but anything may come in, too. Anything may come in.
Free of judgment, I would say, also. Another
yeah.
way to put it.
Free of judgment, but I want to make a non-New Agey point here.
A non-New Agey point.
Okay. Because what may come is not necessarily, everything is going to be peaches and roses and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, on the other hand, other things may come, too, that are very uncomfortable. But they're uncomfortable to the seat upon which the human biological machine stands. And the, as Silverdale has told us, the historical personality, it stands firmly in a certain place.
Yeah, well, you're suddenly speaking to the neither attracted nor repelled, like the sensations.
So now
the sensations, what sensations may come, the idea is to stand apart from them. Like, the fact is that in the movie, the survivors of that scene in the movie, they say, what is it, the one character says to the other, close your eyes, whatever you do, don't look at this phenomenon. Don't try to confront this phenomenon.
So here we are.
You don't want to be attracted or repelled.
Neither attracted nor repelled. So now when we are standing in that moment called all phenomena is illusion, remember, it's not a formula of thinking, but it's a formulation of a space called
all phenomena
is illusion.
Yeah, you know, before we pass on to the second line, I would like to say too that this is, I wonder if it calls up for other people like a state what you say, a chamber or an experience.
Yeah.
For me, it links me with a childhood experience, sort of like pre-intellectual experience that I can remember having, which is, you know, being stopped by just sort of how beautiful a landscape is, like being outdoors in nature and having this actually very difficult to describe sensation, which is like this, that there's a unity, you know, that everything is unified, everything is all of a piece, and that I'm not necessarily separated from it. But then, like David is saying, there could be a tinge of fear that comes up in it. What I remember as a very young person is having that sensation for brief periods of time, and what I felt along with it was that there was a kind of a calling. You know, I felt that there was a hidden, that there was something beneath. You know, like a sensation that all of this unity was all harmonious and unified and all this, but there's this kind of like inkling, okay, what is it behind it? There's something still
deeper yet.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of what now as an adult I'm saying, there's something wanting to be known. You know, there's something.
So this is,
there's something that's appealing to me. This is not intellectual again. But it was, I just remember having this sensation and then having it pass away. You know, being out of it, you know, being in this space and then leaving it. That it would leave, you know, that sensation would leave.
It's that sense of wonder that where you allow not knowing to occur in wonderment, in the state of wonderment, and all phenomena is illusion, membranes are very different at that time. And I recall sitting in the Oak Grove with Krishnamurti in Ojai, way back when, and he started talking about the tree. He just started talking about the tree, you know, because we're sitting there in an oak grove, and the illusion that we think that we are separate from that tree. But when you have the sensation that you are not separate from, and suddenly you begin to see and feel the merging with more of that, that to me is when it starts to get this undercurrent of fear comes in. And we talked extensively a few chapters ago about the invocation of other kinds of entities in the theme work. So once you become available as an essential self and you are living in that world of essential self in the space called all phenomena is illusion, some people, there are things knocking at the door and they're not necessarily bad.
Well, yeah, I can remember feeling something like that. It was like that I wanted to know something, but that also there was something that wanted to be known.
That's a critical element that we'll get to later, but something that wants to be known. Star, please. Yeah. Who said? The dare, less identified. The dare. And so Lost Horizon says that all phenomena is illusion. Well, gosh, so am I as I experience myself. And that which is experiences ourselves is a very important and helpful human biological machine that comes forth. Mm-hmm. We're thankful that this tool is available to us. But suddenly, when suddenly we're in these spaces and we get into that that space of wonder and there is more there in a certain way than we bargained for, and some people know who I'm talking about, when there's more that we bargained for, then it's time to figure out what to do with point number two. point number two is called?
Neither attracted nor repelled.
So, if you can be in that first chamber called all phenomena is illusion, you start to recognize there are things going on. This is a very, in the next, neither attracted nor repelled. Neither attracted nor repelled, both. Oh, I love that yellow flower. It's so beautiful. Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Beautiful to be in nature. How horrible it is to drive through the concrete city. All phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled. Very difficult. Neither attracted nor repelled. So then, as Arya says, it's a matter of handling energy. It's energy that's flowing. And that example of from Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is a movie where this certain being gets seen, and if you fight against it, boom, you blow up. But if you can find a way of surrendering to it, something else happens. Does that remind you of anything, Ivan? That concept of...
Oh. Well, okay, we're talking about practical work on self now.
So now we're going to talk about, we're going to remember practical work on self, which is another book by E.J. Gold, and we're going to go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 of practical work on self is called The Pond. The machine has no real emotions. What we call emotions in themselves are just automatic reflexes of emotional centrum in response to the motor centrum's organic reverberations. Removing the effects of these reverberations eliminates in ourselves the larger part of our negativity and mechanical suffering. Okay, it's the same. So it's saying reactive. Any attracted or repelled, it's just another side of the coin called reactive. And then there's an exercise within this chapter called, do we
pond.
Remember?
The
Pond is the name of the chapter, but what's the exercise?
Oh boy.
What did Moses do?
Dividing the waters?
Parting of the Red Sea.
Parting of the Red Sea, yes.
So there's the Parting of the Red Sea exercise in here, and I didn't find it very quickly. but the idea there is that to, in a sense, surrender to the power of the electrical energy that's coming through you. The more you get into the space called all phenomena is illusion, the more the tool you need at that point is called neither attracted nor repelled, but to observe. But now we're observing on a totally different level, aren't we? Really on a different plane at this point. We're in, so this energy starts to flow, and we want to control it. We want to, you know, save ourselves from it. And you can only go so far, but if you can learn to appropriately acquiesce and surrender at that time, then you are energized in a way, in a remarkable manner.
You are in this chapter, in the language in this chapter, like in the labyrinth, it's just if you let it pass through you, you just let something wash over you or pass through you as a vibration. Has been, and maybe discomfort may be involved, but again, if you're neither attracted nor repelled, it's just a momentary passing discomfort.
So
it's a sensation that passes.
Yeah, if you actually read into the American Book of the Dead, you'll see that a lot discussed, the idea of allowing it to just pass, that it is illusion arising from your own existence. So whatever the illusion is coming through to you during those spaces, allow it to pass through you. Allow it to... The way you handle more energy is not to reacting to that energy, but allowing it to pass through you. And then it's called what? What's it called in the American Book of the Dead when that kind of energy is passing through you?
Reverberation.
What kind of radiation is that called?
Yeah.
Called a cleansing radiation. Yes, sir.
What do you got?
Jim H. says, once again, nothing matters. That's funny.
The Alfred E. Newman monster. What can me worry?
Yeah. That's exactly right, Mark.
Cleansing radiation.
Cleansing radiation. So, all of these are for a purpose. We are voyagers. We are learning to be voyagers. We are learning to be voyagers. Where is the voyager's home? Is Hawk Lady on? Where is the voyager's home? Anybody? It is a trick question. Nowhere and yet everywhere. The voyager has no home, has no place to lay their head. They are voyagers.
So you're saying the journey is the destination.
The journey is the process. It is the destination. That's our work. And where does it manifest physically? Where do we feel it? Feel it in our heart. And yes, we're going to say it. It's the beginning and it's the descent of love. It's the love energy that comes through, which is a powerfully cleansing radiation. We can allow ourselves to be penetrated by the grace that is coming through. When you are an open vessel, I call it a cleansed vessel, a vessel clean enough for this to flow through. It's your heart is imbued with a love. And it's a marvelous sensation. But it ain't pretty. It's not daisies and roses. It is in a way, but it's also, there's a burning sensation that goes with that kind of longing. And we begin to sense the feeling of wanting to come back. All phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled. So, go back to practical work on self and read that chapter 2 and the parting of the Red Sea. You don't resist what's in front of you. You have a tool now called, all phenomena is illusion. Let me watch it. Let me watch it. Oh, it's coming through. It's too painful, too difficult. Surrender. Okay? What else? Hawk Lady said the L word. I said love.
The L word.
I did?
That's the L word.
Oh, I thought the L word was something else. Only Hawk Lady. Yes, the home is the labyrinth. Yes, lost.
But there's a wonderful statement in this chapter, which I just didn't remember from reading this before, which is
that wandering is not voyaging. You know, I thought that was really exceptionally significant when I read that.
Yeah, this is...
Wandering is not voyaging.
Yeah, that's the new agey thing. I've often, like, I really like kirtans, you know what that is?
Yeah.
That's
songs,
like the singing
like
of mantras and things like that. I really love those things. I love to be in that space. So you go to those kinds of events, and everybody's just so high, just hanging out in that space. Then you
come
just,
back to normal.
Yeah, so if we come into these spaces to imbue the essential self with more of a recognition of its home, so that we do go out into the world. We are voyagers in the world, but not of it. We are discovering the fact, as Silverdale has told us, we're discovering the balance is starting to shift through the essential self. We're discovering we're not of this world. We are of the essential world. And if we're of that world, then we work. We have a purpose in what we do. Now remember what we said last week about how part of our work is to help out the Absolute? Remember that chapter?
Yes.
And now think of it in this context. All phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled. Now, go out. Go forth. Tomorrow, when you're at work or you're at the shopping center or whatever, you know, you're hanging out at Big Burger or something like that to get your daily burger bomb.
Burger bomb. Certainly.
What can you do at those moments? That's creativity. Okay? Where are we? Anything else over there, Sean?
Well, I know this mantra. I certainly call it up every time I'm traveling in a jet. Just get all kinds of sensations.
I think I'm going to crash.
Yeah. I get fears and delusions and fantasies. So I generally invoke this mantra various points during the jet flight.
Neither attracted nor repelled, and I'm now on page 164, reading from about 4 or 5 pages in. Neither attracted nor repelled. Attracted to what? Repelled by what? Obviously, phenomena. What we can see, smell, touch, taste, sense, its attractive and repellent nature indicates that we're identified with it and are, for the time being, unable to see it clearly as an illusion. We have identified with the phenomena within the phenomenal structure, and in so doing, we demonstrate that we have missed the meaning of the first idea, all phenomena is illusion. If one perceives all phenomena as illusion, then one is able to be neither attracted nor repelled, because phenomena is just phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
Just another chunk of phenomena.
Jet flight. What was the beginning of that? Jet flight?
Jet flight were a true
mantra. Mantra, yeah, yeah.
That's what Becky does,
yeah.
Her mantra more.
I do too. Yeah, right.
I always think it's going to happen when the plane lands more than when it takes off.
Well, yeah, I usually am doing neither attracted nor repelled.
So how are we with this? Are we getting the sense that I was hoping we were, that these are tools that we take in there?
Yeah,
is that,
I like that idea.
Coming down to us a little bit here? Do people feel that that's happening? Go ahead, start.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, there are two different versions of the book.
It is.
Thank you for pointing that out. It is happening. Good. So these, my hope is that when you have your tool belt on, as you go forth into the world, that you begin to pull these tools out and begin to use them. Okay? What's next? What happens after when neither an attracted nor something or repelled? So all phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled.
Not making any sudden moves.
Ah, not making any sudden moves. And in the chapter, EJ has some very good examples and good hints for us. We know when we've made a sudden move. We know when the move is a malaprop.
Mm-hmm.
We know when there's a bump in the space. And it's having that sense of that and having... like having a sense of how to work in this space with those who are with you, in harmony with those who are with you, but in conscious harmony, not just, what do you call it, wanting to please everybody, you know, not
conformity.
Wanting, not conformity, yeah, but, you know, that you're actively there, okay, so that you're actively there, so not making any sudden moves. Go ahead, start. Correct. Who said that?
Bag the food.
Bag the food?
Bag the food?
Yeah.
Who is bag the food? Bag the food.
We'll have to check that out.
Put out, say
roll
who,
call.
Who you are where you're from, if you would, please. So Bag the Food says we still have to navigate through phenomena. That's the truth. We are not above that. We are given the human biological machine as a tool, but we drag along with it phenomena too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to navigate it, and we have our tools called All Phenomena is Illusion, another tool called Neither Attracted Nor Repelled, and now this one called Not Making Any Sudden Moves. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes the move called for is rapid, but it's in harmony with the state. So this is why it's important to do things like working together on things, to experiment with it. Yes, sir. Don't rock the boat, don't upset the apple cart.
Yeah, and in this category is the don't panic from the Hitchhiker's Guide. I mean, it's a sudden move is the one that's done compulsively, or that you're, you know, it's a habitual move, it's a bad habit move.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's negative, but sometimes it's, I mean, and it's a repellent rapid move, but sometimes it's an attracting rapid move.
Mm-hmm.
I want this. Let me have it. And ego and hunger come through forever.
It has to do with what EJ calls Bardo hooks.
So you have Bardo hooks.
Yeah.
All of them will eventually have to do with your ego. No, it's not that simple, is it? Go ahead, Scott. Yes, it is referring to reaction. So we're in these spaces, and as they get hotter, and there's more intensity to it, we react in certain ways. We bring our stuff into it. And some of us will find different hooks in different places when we get into different areas of the Bardo.
Yeah, and there's a lot of examples. There are lists of examples of this in the Book of the Dead, in the American Book of the Dead. There are Bardo stations listed,
yeah.
And then there are a number of the sort of archetypal sudden moves not to make. And this is, again, I think in one of our discussions, one of the other books, I talked about that story about where somebody literally jumped into a bush because It was a police helicopter with a,
that
with
was
a searchlight in a
so
Sacramento neighborhood. And that was, like, so archetypal. That's what it tells you in one of the chambers in the Book of the Dead. Yeah, whatever you do when you're feeling this cleansing radiation, don't hide in a hut. Don't hide in a farmhouse. Don't jump into a bush. Because that's rebirth. That's an archetypal.
If you are feeling that radiation,
yeah,
then surrender to it,
yeah,
and just let the cleansing occur rather than reacting to it and making that sudden move. Yes, sir. Then what?
That and practice.
But I think you need to be real careful here. The knowledge is not necessarily going to be in that space. You need to learn it, which means you need to go very slowly. Several of us have been caught in that space, in a very hard Bardo space, and did things that were not appropriate to our Bardo moves, because we forgot. And we did things that weren't appropriate. So remember always those areas too. Remember, because when you've made a mistake, a serious mistake in those spaces, you are blessed with that as an opportunity to see yay or nay. You have a beginning of a compass at that time. Beginning of a compass. Yes, sir. Yes.
Because I made a sudden move.
And the guy made the sudden move, Raiders of the Lost Ark. We just have to understand, what is a sudden move for you, though? When do you make the sudden move? We can theoretically, we like to, oh yeah, that's how it is in the book. But what do you do that winds up being a sudden move? When do you panic when things start to get very hot? What does happen in you and you make that panic move? That's critical. Indeed, this is a practicum here. We are trying to find out, and we are finding out, but how does it work in me? Where are my hooks? Where is the trigger that goes, trigger? I'm now out of this space and into anger, or regret, or self-pity, or one of the other gems. There'll be a little switch that goes off, and boom!
Chronic defense mechanism. Huh?
And that starts to become a chronic defense mechanism back to HDM. Start. That's right. So that even if it looks really good, and it's really what you want, and everybody's telling you that it's what you want, and you, all your reasoning tells you that it's what you want, and your body tells you what you want, it could still be a monster. So this is also inherent in this concept of not making any sudden moves, is the concept of humility. Hidden in here is the concept of humility, of being in the space that was spoken of earlier, I think it was Godfrey, not knowing. So if we carry this tool, all phenomena is illusion. Neither attracted nor repelled. Not making any sudden moves. We now have some tools with us. Okay? We have the beginnings of some tools. We're going to take another five. Do you want to take another 5 or 10 minutes and do the last one, My Habits of Caring with You, or would you like to carry it over till next week? Both are okay with me. You want a little bit of this?
A little bit of water.
I elevate reading, then how are you looking at the time?
Okay. Who said that?
Cockroach.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's
come on in, baby.
If they can do what?
Get Ivan some water.
Yeah.
Oh, they're getting Ivan some water now. Someone's getting him some water. So why don't we go ahead and just slide into the fourth item. My habits will carry me through. So once again, let's just go ahead through it. All phenomena is illusion. Neither attracted nor repelled. Not making any sudden moves, my habits will carry me through. Obviously, that one begs a huge question. What habits? So, what's our context here? Our context here is that we are in, this is a Bardo voyaging tool. So we are in the Bardo, we are in a labyrinthine movement. So what habits are the habits that can be spoken of? What are the habits that are available to us there? And what habits then intrude upon us? So, first of all, the habit, all phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled, not making any sudden moves. Yes, start. Well, we know we have two tools, attention and presence. And we can apply those tools in certain ways. So what are the ways that we can apply them? One tool that we could have is a tool called all phenomena is illusion. We can hold that in the spaces rather than being cowed into what someone else thinks we should be doing. Or bringing our own presence to it in these ways. Yes, sir. The habits of the essential self, that's what we're ultimately getting to. When do we develop the habits of the essential self? Do we develop them after we die? Well, maybe not. Maybe part of us, we have the opportunity, the remarkable opportunity, to begin developing some of them now. So when you get into that fear space and then you just go away, or you get into a fear space and then you choose not to communicate with others, or you're in a space where you're heavily bombarded by someone's personality, what do you do at that time? What other habits do you have rather than machine reactivity? Start.
First of all, it doesn't say that we have habits that
Okay, so let's talk about what Becky is saying then. If you have habits of negative thinking, what will happen is you reach a limit and then your machine habits come forward. And if they are habits like of, self-pity or negativity or reactivity or your own ego has to be the one that gets hurt. If that's what happens, that takes you out of the space. That is a malaprop called not making, you have made a sudden move. So know and be conscious of the fact with humility that those are on your back as well. Go ahead. Yes, is it bag a lot or bag?
Bag the food.
Bag the food says we have all these machine habits are imposed on us. Yeah, that's called a historical personality. And that's what for all of us that are here, that got us to this space tonight. Pretty good. But when we go into this voiding space, it's time to let that go. Time to let that go and find new sets of habits. Aria said earlier, practice. You must practice in the heat of battle these new habits. Okay? So that's what we have to begin developing. Everything we've talked about in this book and in the book called Joy of Sacrifice were the beginnings of habits that we can develop for ourselves going forward. So what are your habits? What habits do you have? What good habits do you have also? Not just your bad habits. Don't rely on that ego monkey. What good habits do you have when you know you're in those spaces? I can think of several for several people who are online. Star, go ahead. Well, what Godfrey is saying, aren't the habits actually a function of the first three elements? The answer is yes. The first three lines of the quatrain. So, yes, that's true. Now break them down. How do they work for you, Godfrey, specifically? When you are in the magical space, and I know the kind of work you do, I know you get into a magical space with your clients. When you're in that space, are you able to use these tools to maintain the space? And you will know when you've made a malaprop, when you've made a mistake, when you've bumped in the space. Okay? Go ahead. Attention, and we bring our energy and attention to it as well. There is a surrender element that goes with it, but we have intention and attention. We're active in these spaces here. We're moving forward into them. Pardon? I did. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're not. But so when you're not successful, the key is, how is it that you're not successful specifically? And notice what the hook is for you. I had an event this morning quite early with something, and I just was totally knocked off my boat. And I saw the hook. Boom, I got grabbed. Okay? That's what we need to do. Now, it has nothing to do with your personal behavior and the behavior outside you. It has to do with your inner garden and how you maintain the beauty of that. Okay? Oh, Lost has a comment. Yes. Attracted and repelled are going to be very unique. The whole point is that these are great tools. They're meaningless unless you apply them to your own canvas and how they work with you. Thinking of several individuals right now who are on the call who I know exactly certain very positive things and very difficult things that they have as they go through all of this. Watch out for seduction. We get seduced into certain areas. Part of it, we get seduced because we want to be in this space. So this is almost an exercise to keep a notepad of how bees work in you and see specific things and how they work. It'd be very interesting to start posting some of those things for other voyagers to see how they work with them. But I think we've got maybe enough for the moment to work on. And I think we'll call it a night. So thank you for coming. And we'll take it up again next week, and we'll be on chapter 15 at that time. And let's see. And if more gestates in you about this, go ahead and post it on the website, wingsofchaos.com. Thank you for coming. Look forward to seeing you next week. Good night.
Thanks, Dave. That was a good session.
Thank you so much, Silverdale.